Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, the big Tuesday edition. Dom, can you hear me now?
Yeah, Crudy, what's happening? Happy Tuesday to you, Evan on the board, our fair audience. Always a pleasure to be with you all.
You know, it's Liz Cheney primary Tuesday. She's probably going to lose.
That's probably the case.
A little too much truth for, you know, the modern Republican Party.
That's how far we've come in this country in such a short period of time. I actually kind of feel a little bad for Liz Cheney.
I'll get over it.
You will as well.
I suspect we will.
When Liz Cheney becomes the voice of reason in the room, I mean, look at her opponent. I mean, are you kidding me? People are going to vote for this opponent just because it's not Liz Cheney? I mean, we deserve everything we get.
Buddy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I don't know, man.
Good luck, Liz. Kind of rooting for you. Dom, I'm rooting for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's having a good week, a good month. Hell, man, today is a really big day for Joe Biden, for the Democrats, and for America. I mean, climate change. We've actually got meaningful legislation. We've got some caps on prescription drug prices, and we got the president. He's very proud to be signing this legislation today. Now, Evan, going to need your help here. Want to hear from the... Oh, you're going to have to put it on the list. Come on, man. Doing a live radio show here.
A little bit from the background. Let's talk about the bill briefly, Crudy, while Evan gets his ducks in a row. The Washington Post reports the Inflation Reduction Act would put about $370 billion into combating climate change and bolstering U.S. energy production using incentives for private companies to produce more renewable energy and for households to transform their energy use and consumption. As mentioned, it would also allow Medicare to negotiate the price of prescription drugs.
Oh, slow down.
Yeah, man, you kidding me?
You know, we're going to talk about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from our backyard, the senior senator, hopefully not for much longer. But Ron's out there today, you know, going on the Foxy News talk version with Brian Kilmeade, bemoaning the poor pharmaceutical industries. You know, they're going to be crushed under the weight of caps and innovation will be stifled, I tell you, stifled.
Is that what happens when you embrace, I don't know, what do they call it, free market capitalism?
Going galt. They're going to go galt, Dom.
If you're going to hamstring the U.S. government, you know, one of the biggest purchasers, one of the biggest customers of Big Farm, to finally be able now to negotiate prices? I mean, are you kidding me? Wow, congratulations. I'm sure all the Republicans should stand up and say, yes, it's about time capitalism is working out.
Well, they were rooting against the American people when it came to, what, capping the price of insulin. Could have done that for all insurance policies. Instead, Republicans made sure that was ripped out of this legislation. You know, so they don't believe in diabetes. You know, you diabetics, you're on your own. Let them stick it to the diabetics now.
You know, the Big Farm needs that diabetic money for them to, you know, continue their research into better insulin. I mean, didn't the guys that invented insulin, like, give it away for a buck? I mean, this is, it's pretty obscene.
It is obscene, but we're not ready for the obscenities, you know, the rhetorical obscenities of Rojo. So we'll get to him in a little bit, Dom. I think we're getting close to being ready for the president. I'm feeling more confident. Let's hear from President Joe Biden at the White House. A really, really BFD, perhaps, Dom, Inflation Reduction Act. Let's do it. Cut number 20, Joe Biden.
In this historic moment, Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interest in this vote.
Shocking, Joe.
I like that Joe's lambasting the non-participatory, the obstructionist Republicans as the Dems are governing before the midterms. It's a good look. More from the president, Joe Biden, talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, cut 21.
And I'm keeping my campaign commitment. No one, let me emphasize, no one earning less than $400,000 a year will pay a penny more in federal taxes.
Woo! Just made it. Just limboed under that one, Dom.
That's a little deferred compensation for the next year. Then we'll make that cap.
You know, a couple of radio guys. You know how well paid this industry is. You as well, Evan. I'm glad you've made it just under the threshold. More from President Joe Biden. The Inflation Reduction Act and its benefit to those that get health care, I believe, through the exchanges he's specifically referencing. Cut 22, please.
In the years ahead, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, 13 million people are going to continue to save an average of $800 a year on health insurance.
That's a big deal. And I can tell you, when I was a participatory in the Obamacare exchanges, the ACA, and let's not forget, Joe Biden called that a BFD. It was a BFD for the American people. And it's amazing, Dom, how the American people, through the course of time, have embraced these exchanges, have embraced Obamacare. All it took was a little pandemic, and people said, oh, yeah, I need health care. But anyways, the subsidies, the additional subsidies that came with the American Rescue Plan, and if I recall correctly, Dom, that was all Democrats that passed that as well.
Yep.
Well, now they've extended this benefit, and it's a tremendous benefit. If it makes health insurance affordable for your family, if you can go to the exchanges and you can get affordable health care, I mean, that is, sadly, in American culture, that's a luxury not everyone has. So it is a BFD. And the fact that the subsidies, the additional subsidies, have been extended. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Democrats. One more from Joe Biden. The president, you know, sort of crowing a little bit today. Cut 23, please.
The Inflation Reduction Act invests $369 billion to take the most aggressive action ever in confronting the climate crisis and strengthening our energy security.
Now, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, of course, describes climate change as BS.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax from China.
But what's happening to the Colorado River, Dom? I know we're not going there topically, but you had mentioned like some stage two crisis, massive water reductions.
Yeah. Yes.
What's going to happen to the weed industry in Colorado, Dom?
you better get your almonds now because we're not letting go of that weed. Briefly, the U.S. demands more water cuts as Colorado River hits dire lows. And the quote from this, the Colorado River's decline has drained three quarters of the water from the nation's largest reservoirs and falling closer than ever to levels where hydroelectric dams can't generate power and millions of people lose access to drinking water and irrigation supplies across seven states. A tier two shortage requiring cuts in water use that will diminish what Arizona gets by 21%, Nevada by 8%, and the country of Mexico by 7%. Yeesh.
Glad we live close to a Great Lake. Although,
long as we keep the straws, you know, in this spot of the world, man, you know, they tried to give it to Foxconn to suck as much water as they wanted. So it's not like they're not going to try to if they can get paid to do so, to draw some water outside of this area.
Well, didn't we have a Republican attorney general in the state of Wisconsin that said you could not consider cumulative water usage through high capacity wells? You know, like everyone had to be judged for its own unique wellness.
Yes, because nothing's connected to each other. The water, the reservoirs and aquifers, they stop at the property line. See, that's how it works.
You know, I love the fact that things like water policy have suddenly been politicized. Like, Republicans don't drink water. You know, we don't need water. Let the cows crap in the water. We also have some CAFO problems here. But anyway, setting that aside, we got a little success for the Joe Biden administration. And with the midterms coming down the pike, Dom, I'd like to see Joe Biden succeeding and the American people.
All the Republicans voted against it, Crudy, because as the Post reports, to pay for the spending, the bill would raise hundreds of billions in revenue through new tax provisions, the biggest of which will fall on the country's large corporations. It would also give the badly underfunded IRS the biggest budget increase in history. White House officials have repeatedly said that over the last week, Biden emphasized no one making under $400,000 would pay a penny more. Another quote, let's be clear, the president said, in this historic moment, Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interests. Every single Republican in Congress voted against lowering prescription drug prices, against lowering health care costs, against the fair tax system. Every single Republican, every single one voted against tackling the climate crisis, against lowering our energy costs, against creating good paying jobs. Yeah, he says it. He says it over and over and over again. And this, my understanding, Crudy, and correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen any reporting on it recently, but this will actually also lower the deficit, lower the debt.
That's what the CBO says. Ron Johnson hates this bill. Yeah. Republicans hate this bill because this feels like governance. And they're not really down for governance, just obstruction, right? Just obstruction.
No, tax cuts, if you call tax cuts governance. Yes, they're down with that and obstruction. And, you know, a little coup and, you know, some violations of the Espionage Act. And, you know, perhaps some minor assault and continual lying and, you know, general cultish behavior.
Well, as we turn our attention to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, let's not forget, he came on our big show, Dom, a couple of years ago, back in, what, early 2018. And he was the lone Republican holdout against the Trump tax cuts because he wanted one more carve out for designated S corporations. And he came down to our Milwaukee studios and he, hey, Crudy, I did it for guys like us.
Did it for us, man, for you.
Because you're a small business owner and you're going to get a tax cut, or so he claimed, and I probably did on some modest level. But there are a couple of taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin who garnered tremendous benefit, and now they're throwing a party for Ron Johnson. I'll tell you all about it. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. It's always a political party up in here, especially on a Tuesday.
I did what I came to do.
Great success.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join this political party at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, you know, always looking out for the little guy like me, a small business owner.
Yeah, like you.
Because I am a designated S corporation as an LLC. Any profit, and I haven't had to experience too much of that in the radio industry, but any profit would pass through to my personal taxes. And the marginal tax rate for designated S corporations felt quite high, certainly compared to big corporations, right? So Ryan said, well, that ain't fair. I'll give you all a tax cut. And he held out against the Trump tax cuts. He was the unique Republican senator. So, you know, he came down, he bragged to me, oh, Crudy, did it for us. Because he is also a designated S corporation at Paycor. As fate would have it, Dom, he also benefited from that tax cut.
Weird how that works.
But me and Ron, we're small potatoes, and Ron's substantially a bigger, you know, spud than I am, I'd like to think. But, you know, who's a really big potato? Diane Hendricks, the widow Hendricks. So big. Donald Trump was sucking up to her at the Trump rally in Waukesha. The beautiful Diane Hendricks. Yeah, I mean, this woman's in her 70s. Trump likes him young.
Work, though, she doesn't look like she's barely over her 60s. And Trump's going to need a sugar mama, given the way he's going to be blowing through money defending himself. He's going to need a producer's type funder.
Well, he even
plays without checkies, Crudy.
He even referenced the fact you know, I heard she had once. I heard she had a store. No. Then I heard she had thousands of stores. I thought, I got to meet this woman. Right? He's attracted to her wealth. Well, anyways, Diane Hendricks was attracted to the Trump tax cuts. Ron Johnson put a little special okie dokie in there for the widow Hendricks and the U-Lines. Let me tell you a little bit about it. GOP mega donor Diane Hendricks will host a fundraiser in Beloit for Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Of course, he's a candidate, the incumbent. Hendricks, who chairs the Beloit-based ABC Supply, is a longtime Johnson supporter. During this cycle alone, Dom, she already has given $6.5 million to the Wisconsin Truth Pack, a group that backs Johnson. $6.5 million in this cycle. So far, she's already contributed. Now she's throwing a little fundraiser for the man. Richard and Elizabeth Uliner also funding the group that has already spent millions of dollars in TV ads to boost Rojo. And ProPublica reported last year that a so-called pass-through tax break, now the designated S, you heard me reference them, that Johnson pushed in the 2017 tax legislation benefited the widow Hendricks and the Ulines to the tune of $215 million in one tax filing year, what? 2018 alone.
What?
Those two families saved $215 million. Thank you, Ron Johnson. One year.
Now, can we assume, a little bit more. Then? I mean, I guess we don't know the ins and outs of their taxes, but is that going to happen every year? So, like, in 5 years, those two families saved $1 trillion in taxes?
Well, it doesn't. It sunsets before that, Dom. So let me give you a little bit of the boundaries.
Right. Please.
At that rate, and this is a direct quote, at that rate, the cut would deliver more than $500 million in tax savings for the Hendricks and the Ulines over its 8-year life.
Gotcha.
So it's got an 8-year sunset, but $500 million in tax savings for two freaking families? That seems quite large, quite substantial.
I'll say it's $250 billion for Hendricks and $250 billion for Ulines. And once she put $6.5 million in this cycle, I mean, it seems like an easy trade-off, right? If you got to invest $6.5 million, hell, double it, triple it, $65 million. Hell, $600, you know what I'm saying. It's a big return.
Well, it's a bargain at any price. Buying yourself a U.S. senator and a tax cut of this sort? Dominic, just 82 ultra-wealthy households in America collectively walked away with $1 billion in tax savings in that single year, understanding.
That 1 year, yeah.
Single year, the year the Trump tax cuts, shepherded personally by Rojo. He was the lone dissenter. He's the one that jammed this tax cut in. For guys like me. And the widow Hendricks.
Yeah.
I never threw Ron a party, though.
No, you didn't give $6.5 million in this election cycle either.
And Rojo's still defending it. He's still proud of his work. Johnson has defended his work on the tax break for small businesses and other so-called pass-through entities. And these businesses' profits pass through to the owners who pay taxes on their personal returns. Now, there are some other advantages. Let me tell you. I'm a small business owner, but even if I was a big business owners get to claim income. If you work for someone, the government takes taxes. I get to claim my taxes. I get to justify any write-off I want to. And if I were audited at some point in the future, well, they could disallow some of those write-offs, or maybe I'd never get audited. And I just take those big write-offs. You see a little difference in how people go about filing their taxes. So while no one wants to pay more taxes, I don't want to pay any more than the next guy. But I can tell you there are already some inherent differences in how people that own their own corporations get to file their taxes. And always file for the extension, Dom. Always.
You still got to pay, and you got to pay the interest, but you can file the extension and, do it later.
Here's Ron's statement. My support for pass-through entities that represent over 95% of all businesses was guided by the necessity to keep them competitive with large publicly held C Corps and had nothing to do with any donor or discussions with them. Yeah. Nothing, Don. Yeah, nothing.
We got to talk about it because we all know.
Come back with us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'd like to think Ron did it for me, Dom.
Aw, that's nice.
You know, because Ron loved us. And then it all went bad. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. He doesn't bring a spotted cow anymore.
He loves you and he needs money.
Why don't you give me half the money you were going to bet? Then we'll go out there, I'll kick you in the nuts, and we'll call it a day.
Lewis bet me that we couldn't both get rich and put y'all in the poorhouse at the same time. He didn't think we could do it.
When you go...
Ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dom, we're going to talk a little more about Rojo, the center from the great state of Wisconsin.
You're getting all choked up this time.
I got to clear my throat. Got a little Rojo stuck. Dominic, before we get to the most recent of the outlandish statements of Rojo, because, you know, as he's out there defending his tax cuts for billionaires like the Widow Hendricks and the U-Lines, he's also out there standing up for, you know, the pharmaceutical industry. Because
you know, really standing up for the small people.
Against patients and capping pharmaceutical costs for the patients. Now, my understanding, this new piece of legislation caps pharmaceutical costs per individual at $2,000 a year, that is a pretty big step forward. I'd like to see this whole legislation explained better, flushed out a little more. It's just been signed into law by Joe Biden. But I can tell you, anything that Ron Johnson says about it is probably a lie. And the people of the great state of Wisconsin, even some Republican voters, they're starting to see through Rojo. Our buddy John Nichols from the Nation, but also locally at the Cap Times, he points out, Dom, through a little column he wrote over at the Cap Times this week, 110,000 Wisconsin Republican primary voters rejected your buddy Ron Johnson. 110,000. Let me jump into the body of the work. Where is it? Where is it? I just wanted to get to the numbers. Here it is. Schrader was the opponent of Ron Johnson. His primary opponent, Schrader, had the truth on his side, but little else. Johnson's campaign spent $15 million before the primary. So Rojo's $15 million in already, trying to defend himself, blanketing the airwaves with ads. And I tell you, outstate Wisconsin, it is filthy with Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels' ads. And some people are going, well, what happened to Becky Clayfish? What happened in the gubernatorial primary? Millions of dollars spent on right-wing talk radio and radio of all formats, but the state is filthy with them. And here in the Madison and Milwaukee markets where I spend more of my time, you know, I see the ads. I see the TV ads. But I'm telling you, man, Rojo is filthy on the airways. 15 million and counting.
1-5, 15 million.
1-5. In contrast, Schrader rarely appeared on TV or radio. There were no debates or joint forums featuring the two Republicans. So what happened when the GOP primary votes were counted last Tuesday? Schrader won more than 110,000 votes. The challenger took 16.3% of the primary vote. In more than a dozen counties, Schrader won more than 20% of the vote. That's 1-5, Dom. Although, you know, we're not great at radio on the math on the radio or talking on the radio, any of those things. In several counties, he won over 25%. Schrader received almost three times as many votes as your buddy Tim Rantham, Ram Jam, the Trumpist decertified the election guy, a Campbellsport Republican who sought the GOP gubernatorial nomination. Ram Jam, who raised and spent nearly $200,000 on his primary campaign and who was featured in the primary debate with former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish and the multi-millionaire Tim Michaels, was a high-profile contender who got substantial media coverage. yet Rantham Ram Jam won only 41,689 votes. How's that song go? Yeah, that's sort of his theme song, Ram Jam. 42,000 votes. Schrader got 110,000 plus, Tom. So what make you of this? Is Rojo vulnerable even within his own party?
I think you can't look at these numbers and not come away with that. I think that certainly seems to be the case. I mean, you're talking about, and again, it certainly depends on which counties you're talking about. But if in a couple of counties, more than a dozen, Schrader gets, what, over 20% of the vote, and several over 25% of the vote. Now, there are some small counties in the state of Wisconsin, no doubt. But that seems to indicate, you know, some displeasure with Ron Johnson. Yeah, I do think it is problematic for him. Now, the question, you know, do they come home? Now, look at the other side. Rantham had other competitors, right? There were more people in that race for the governor than there were for Senate. So that would divide up some of those opposing votes. If you added all those votes up.
Well, okay. John Nichols does also point out there was a U.S. senatorial primary on the Democratic side. And you would say, yeah, but all the major contenders, they got out. But first, Lazary and company, including Gottlewski and Tom Nelson, first they spent $25 million opposing Mandela Barnes, and they walked away with like 22% of the combined vote. Mandela had 78% support in the primary, and all those names were still on the ballot. So consider that also.
The survey from Marquette University polling. In one survey, the one-on-one matchup with the Republican incumbent, 91% of Democrats said they were for Barnes. In contrast, only 86% of Republicans said they were for Johnson. Those numbers, writes Nichols, suggested that there was something of a Republican enthusiasm gap for Johnson. That could be consequential in a state where four of the past six presidential races have been decided by fewer than 25,000 votes, and where the most recent races for governor and attorney general were determined by fewer than 30,000 votes. Yeah, maybe people are getting a little tired of, well, I mean, there's so many things that he's done. You know, what was the hydrochloric? What was the medicine?
Gargle.
Hydroquine. Yeah, yeah.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Right, and what was
there was
the
gargling medicine to avoid COVID. There was, what was the horse paste he was advocating for?
Ivermectin. Right?
Yeah, you know it, baby.
I mean, there's so many greatest hits.
Ivermectin will turn you blue, literally. Wasn't that the stuff that would turn you blue? Like one guy turned himself blue from treating himself with ivermectin.
Yeah, that silver tincture. Oh. Man. Yeah, no, it's terrible for you.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. And while, again, these are, so yes, I think ultimately Nichols has it right. I think there is some enthusiasm gap for Senator Johnson. But I got to tell you, man, I hope Mandela Barnes, and he's a very, gets lots of support, obviously, from the Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin, supported by the party, and all the other opponents came and rallied around behind him. Such a contrast of background and character and upbringing, right? Son of an all third shift auto worker. You know, we've heard the story over and over again. I think it's going to be a fantastic contrast between him and current, soon-to-be former Senator Ron Johnson. I mean, Ron Johnson, we're talking about these things today. He's down for, you know, billions of dollars in tax cuts, hundreds of millions of dollars of tax cuts for his donors. Now, you may say, oh, we never talked about it. But again, you don't have to. Nudge, wink, wink, we're all in the club together. You know what I'm saying? You're not. Mandela Barnes is not. We are not in that club. And he goes, Senator Johnson, to that point in supporting the pharmaceutical industry. Same thing. Same thing.
Well, let's hear Rojo. Let's not put words in the man's mouth. He can speak for himself. He went to Brian Kilmeade on the Fox News Network, the radio version, and he had this to say earlier today. And Evan, we appreciate your hard work in pulling the sound. Let's play it for the fair audience. Cut number one.
So the
one,
other thing that you have with pharmaceuticals, they said, wouldn't it be great if Medicare got a chance to bid on their on pharmaceutical prices? But the thing that the bad side about that is the pharmaceutical industry is going to pay a huge price, and we're going to pay the price on innovation, correct?
Correct. And by the way, any money we raise from that is going to be spent misallocated to the Green New Deal. It's not going to, you know, from what I can see, it's not going to go to reduce premiums for Medicare or to bolster that program and, you know, make it more sustainable. But you're absolutely right. When you start punishing the pharmaceutical industry, you're going to have less innovation. You're going to have fewer life-saving drugs. That's not a good thing.
What bunk? I mean, let's think about this. If the overinflated prices that we, the people, through our government, have been paying the pharmaceuticals, we've been essentially been funding their research. Is that what it comes down to? Because we, the American people, should continue to pay a premium because otherwise, they won't do the research. I mean, how very Trumpian? Hey, it's a nice healthcare system you got there. It'd be terrible if something happened to it and you didn't get any more pharmaceuticals. You know what I'm saying? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Well, also consider the specific population as Kilby, the host, asking the tough questions. I'm correct, am I not? Medicaid and Medicare. Well, Medicaid is presumably disabled people and poor people. And Medicare is seniors. So these are blocks of people that don't have a lot of financial clout, let's just say. But collectively, they add up to a big number. But Ron is worried that poor people and seniors are going to have an unfair negotiating advantage against Big Pharma. You know, it won't be fair to Big Pharma. You know, who's going to advance the drugs if Big Pharma doesn't
continue to fleece the American government over its prescription drug pricing? That's exactly what they're saying. Just talk about some top line numbers here from Fortune.com. The pharmaceutical industry had a big year in 2021. The 10 largest pharma companies by revenue spanned five countries and brought in a collective $734.8 billion in revenue and $130.6 billion in profits, according to the 2022 Fortune Global 500 released earlier this month. This was in August, so this is very current. My number on that, crude, again, these are just the top 10. These represent international companies as well. That's about just under 18% profit margin. The pharmaceutical companies represented on the Global 500, which ranks the world's largest companies by revenue, generated, get this one, 98.2% profit growth on average from the previous year. Hell, man, pandemic, that's going to make some money. So they made all the extra money. The COVID-19 pandemic provided a tremendous opportunity for some drug companies to expand their operations as they got involved with the manufacture and distribution of vaccines. More than 12.2 billion doses have been administered globally as of July 17th, and 68.8% of the world's population is at least partially vaccinated against COVID-19. For Pfizer, that's the vaccine I have, it ranks fourth out of all global pharmaceutical companies by revenue. COVID-19 vaccine production made up nearly half of its annual revenue, accounting for $36.8 billion in total. Revenues for all vaccines are expected to reach $47 billion by 2025.
Dominic, a little bit from the reporting at the NBC News, this on this topic, this Inflation Reduction Act signed into law by Joe Biden. Under the, I'm going to go up one more paragraph. Exorbitant drug prices in the United States are a key reason many people in the U.S. are forced to skip or delay filling their needed prescriptions. Those damn poor people trying to stick it to Big Pharma, according to Ron Johnson. A Kaiser Family Foundation poll published last month found that nearly one in two adults, that's like half of Americans, reported difficulty affording their healthcare expenses, including their prescribed medications. A little bit more here, Dom, because I over-conflated. I want to make sure I'm accurate in my descriptors of this new law. Under the new law, the U.S. government is now able to negotiate prices on the costliest prescription drugs, cap cost at $2,000 per year for people on Medicare. So if I left you with the impression that's for all consumers, I apologize. That's just for Medicare people. Limit the monthly cost of insulin to $35 for seniors. Again, that's Medicare. And extend subsidies for people buying their own health coverage through the Affordable Care Act, the federal subsidies on the Obamacare exchanges. The law also provides free vaccines for seniors. The changes are significant, especially for anyone in need of high-cost drugs. Yes, I would say yes. So anyways, if you're talking about Medicare, you're talking about negotiating on behalf of seniors. And if you're talking about Medicaid, you're talking about negotiating on behalf of disabled and extremely poor people, people living at least here in the state of Wisconsin, living below the poverty line, because we never expanded Medicaid to people above the poverty line. So I think it's a good thing. I think this may take a while to take effect, because it's not like the Medicare prices have been negotiated. It's not like the pharmaceutical companies are going to say, we cut our prices preemptively. These negotiations still have to go on, but over the course of years, you're going to save money, and Ron Johnson will keep whining about it. Poor pharma!
You take drugs, Danny?
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
Just aim higher.
Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines always open for your take at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got a piece from the Cap Times. Paul Fanlon, the author thereof, brace for the smear campaign aimed at Mandela Barnes. Well, now that the Democrats have their champion in Mandela, and of course, Ron, oh, you own Ron, GOP. The smear campaign. I've heard this race, the most recent figures I've seen just on the Senate race, $136 million race just in Wisconsin.
Does that include the $25 million already spent by Mandela's primary opponents?
Probably.
Right.
Anyways, Fanlon writes, our state's race for the U.S. Senate this fall will be as closely watched and probably as negative as any in the nation. That's because even fellow Republicans are shaking their head at Ron Johnson, the two-term incumbent, and his many fantastical, detached from reality pronouncements. No amount of Republican independent expenditures, you know, Dom, outside money from undisclosed donors like the Ulines and the widow Hendricks, can rehabilitate and normalize his image. Johnson has morphed into the prototypical millionaire Republican focused on tax cuts and his tinfoil hat persona of today. A guy who discounts COVID vaccines, the January 6th insurrection, and doubts Joe Biden actually won.
Oh, come on.
The only logical play his backers have is a torrent of negative ads to try and disqualify Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee. They will likely be as distorted and probably racially tinged as any in our lifetimes, which is quite a standard. In truth, Barnes is energetic, charismatic, a middle-class guy from Milwaukee, rose to become lieutenant governor as a mainstream liberal, not as a radical. Barnes' pre-primary ads effectively introduced him as being in touch with the average person. One shows him pushing a grocery cart and saying he knows the cost of a gallon of milk. Now, I asked Mandela specifically, Mandela, how much is milk? $4, he said. Unlike his wealthy primary foes, and certainly unlike Rojo, in the general election, it may seem appealing for Barnes to attack Johnson for the kind of behavior that is generated. This recent headline on the New York Times column by Michelle Cottle. Why is Ron Johnson still competitive despite you know everything? Johnson may be the senator who most fully embodies MAGA world, she wrote. His irrational and irresponsible conspiracy mongering about matters such as COVID vaccine, the integrity of the 2020 election, and who was really behind the January 6th riots has unsettled even some of his Republican colleagues. But focusing on that, say prominent Democratic strategist I spoke with recently would be the wrong path. The right path will be to shine a light on how Johnson has betrayed his constituents by catering solely to the wealthy. Yes. As one strategist put it this way, and I'm going to read as much of this quote as I can. It's a little profane. Barnes has to make clear that he understands the challenges working people face and then put it into a powerhouse counterpunch, which is what Ron Johnson has been looking out for himself and his wealthy donors at every turn. And whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, whether you hate politics, whether you're white, black, brown, you're probably been ripped off by Ron Johnson in order to enrich his billionaire donors.
Crudy, as you mentioned, in 2017, Johnson withheld support for President Trump's huge tax cuts because it served, not because it served wealthy over the regular people, which it did, but apparently because it did not do enough for his two major Wisconsin donors. Johnson got his way and, having pledged not to seek a third term, probably thought it would never matter politically. A ProPublica investigation reported that Johnson's last-minute maneuver benefited two families more than almost any others in the country, both worth billions and both among the senator's biggest donors. Dick and Liz Uline, the packaging giant Uline, along with roofing magnate Diane Hendricks, together had contributed around $20 million to groups backing Johnson's 2016 re-election campaign, the report said. The expanded tax breaks break Johnson muscled through netted them $250 million in deductions in 2018 alone, drastically reducing the income they owed taxes on. Another Democratic strategist agreed a tax on Barnes should be met by pointing out the stains on Johnson's record. It's the old sports metaphor. He's doing the right thing so far as an introduction and grounding, as U.S. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin put it in 2012. But the best defense is a good offense. Make the election about the other guy. For Democrats who worry about Barnes's electability as a former community organizer and an African-American in an overwhelmingly white state, consider this. Since 2008, one strategist noted, Democratic candidates who were straight white men and women have lost 6 of 8 elections in Wisconsin for president, governor, and U.S. Senate. Governor Tony Evers in 18 and President Biden in 2020 were the exceptions. Meanwhile, African-American and gay candidates have won 4 and lost none, twice each by Barack Obama and Baldwin. I also asked the strategists how angst-ridden Democrats, the kind jammed into deep blue Madison and Dane County, should cope with the GOP ad barrage to come. By recognizing reality, one responded, as to coping, we passed that bridge a long time ago in this country. Our society and politics are pretty much effed for the time being. This fall will be an ugly campaign season and an ever-increasingly string of them. But there's no shock and surprise to voters. The key thing for my side is for people to rise above all the insanity and realize their vote counts. The Supreme Court and the January 6 hearings and the ongoing threat to democracy give us powerful ways to ensure they do. The other strategists suggested Wisconsin Democrats should interpret this fall's ad barrage as positive indication of just how important they are. The thing to remember is that in Wisconsin, almost uniquely in the United States and almost uniquely in history, a tiny number of votes can sway statewide elections that wind up changing the game for the entire country over and over and over. We have some of the closest elections anyone has ever seen, and that means that every Wisconsin voter has a superpower. If you don't like the way things are going, you can do something about it, unlike people who live in states that are deep blue or deep red. So Barnes should make the election about his understanding and embrace of middle-class pocketbook issues, and his supporters should keep reminding themselves of their superpowers. That means they should be energized to volunteer, donate, and vote. Makes sense to me, writes Paul Fanland at the Cap Times.
Dominic, what is your superpower?
My superpower? Patience.
I would say the ability to burst bubbles of all sorts. I mean, really, you can harsh anyone's buzz.
Ah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, I like to think I can, you know, cut through the BS and just lay it out how it actually is. And Barnes is going to mop the floor with Rojo. I can't wait for this. This is going to be a perfect election season.
I think it will be very close. I mean, historically speaking, nearly every race in the state of Wisconsin is very, very close. I am less concerned about the racism here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, I think it's some interesting stats that Fanling quotes. Tammy Baldwin didn't hide from her gayness, and she won 100,000 Scott Walker votes. And, of course, Mandela Barnes is black, if you hadn't noticed. But so was, who's that guy? Barack Hussein Obama?
The Hussein guy.
Yeah. And he won like 58 out of 72 Wisconsin counties. Come back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates is next.
Stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.